You and I with Rashmi Shetty is a human library audio podcast bringing in stories of people you and I can draw inspiration from. Welcome to the third season of this amazing story listening journey. Ordinary folks, extraordinary lives, their uniqueness and individuality, making them interesting to talk to and to listen to. Each one of them completely connected to the voice in me and with motivational stories of moving beyond themselves to make a difference in the world. A reaffirmation of the fact, open your eyes wider. The world is far more beautiful when we acknowledge the presence of both you and I. Our guest today is Roshni Mukherjee. Passionate about teaching, Roshni started teaching through YouTube way back in 2011 when there were very few learning channels on YouTube in India. One of the 100 women achievers of India recognized by the Ministry of Women and Child Development, Roshni has also been recognized by the Honorable President of India in 2016 and by the Limca Book of Records in 2017 for creating more than 5,600 video lessons on YouTube and making it available for free. Roshni teaches concepts and subjects across grades, be it a nursery rhyme or a complex science topic of grade 12. She ensures in making the complex topics simple through visuals, animations, and graphics. Roshni is on a mission of making high-quality learning content accessible to every child. With 3 million plus subscribers across channels, she was a speaker at the Global EduCon 2022. The launch of YouTube courses also was done alongside Ishan John Chatterjee at Google for India event in 2022. With her vision still being making education affordable and accessible to every child across the country, she recently launched free batches for classes 11 and 12 on YouTube as Learno Hub Athar for classes 11 and Learno Hub Anant for class 12. Listen in as Roshni shares her journey, the ups and downs, and how the rebranding was all a beautiful journey of recognition, learning, and finding her mission. Hi, Roshni. I know the difference you've made to my son, my nephew, and their friends together, that I'm so honored to have you on this podcast. Welcome to You and I with Rashmi Shetty.
Thank you so much, Rashmi, for having me here. I'm sure that we both are going to have a wonderful time.
Sure, Roshni. But you know, the Roshni who is on today and the world knows today is somebody who may have evolved with time, evolved with age. So what was little Roshni like? Simple, serious, absolutely a nerd, topper in class, and moved on to become the Roshni Mukherjee that the world knows you today as? I'd love to know your journey. So where did you grow up and how did Roshni evolve?
Yeah, sure. So basically, I was born in a lower middle class family, Bengali family. So I was the second girl child to my parents. And I was brought up in Dhanbad, which is in Jharkhand. So since my dad was an engineer who worked with BCCL, so I kind of spent my entire school days in Dhanbad. So right from my childhood, I think I have been somebody who has always been very inclined towards academics. So I loved studies. I loved being with books. And, you know, that's how I was, like, since my childhood. And I think it was this academic inclination of mine, which kind of made me quite good with academics. And over a period of time, I realized that as I went to, you know, pursue my higher studies. So I did my higher studies from Delhi University, Hansraj College. So I did my graduation, post-graduation from the University of Delhi. So while I was in college, I still remember there used to be so many times that, you know, I mean, we will be doing group studies amongst friends. And my friends would really appreciate that, you know, yeah, tu to bada acha samjhati hai. So whenever they used to get stuck with topics, we used to discuss, and you know, I used to kind of try to explain them what I have understood. So I think It was somewhere during my school days. Even during my school days, when I was in class 7th, I was very much comfortable teaching concepts of class 6th to a junior. So I think that knack of teaching, or that, you know, that passion for teaching has always been there. So I still remember while I was at college, I often used to go to my sister's place. My sister is quite elder to me, so her daughter was in school during those days. So I used to help her with her homework or during her exam time. And she also used to appreciate it a lot, that, you know, you really teach well. So I think that passion to teach was there within, and my inclination towards academics was something that added to that. So when I completed my studies, I after I did my master's, I got placed with Wipro as a quality analyst. So I started working with Wipro. In fact, while I was doing my master's, initially my plan was to pursue a PhD and then, you know, get into teaching. So that was the initial plan. But I think, you know, we plan one way and it happens the other way. So while I was in my master's, so something very unfortunate happened. My dad passed away when I was in my final year of master's. So, and during that time, while I was being offered a job with Wipro, I thought, you know, taking the job would be better, considering, you know, I would start earning early. And that's when I decided to take up the job. So I, even though I started working as a quality analyst, and sometimes I feel that I have always been somebody who would want to give her best in whatever I do. So whatever I do doesn't matter whether it is job, whether it was my studies, whether it is what I'm doing right now. So I always try from my end to give my best. So even at job, I delivered my best. So, you know, I was doing pretty good in my IT career as well. But deep down, that passion to teach still existed. So I still remember. And I think the entire turning point was this interaction, this little story of my interaction with my maid. So while I was staying in Bangalore, there was this domestic help at my place. She was a lady from a village in Tamil Nadu, and she was a single mother to two kids. So her kids used to go to some government school in, you know, her village in Tamil Nadu. So every month, this lady used to take 2 days off to go to her native, meet her kids, and come back. And every month, Rashmi, she would come back and she would only talk about this one problem, that the kids don't go to school, the teachers won't come to take the class, so they would not clear their exams. And because that lady had just one, you know, one clear determination in her mind, that my kid should have a better, you know, better future, better career, and they should not lead the kind of life that I'm leading. So I still feel so amazed when I think that she used to work in almost 9 to 10 houses just to ensure that, you know, she's able to give a better life to her kids. So every time she came back from hometown, so sometimes, you know, we would help her giving some money to buy books for their kids, or, you know, to help her with some admission fee in their school. But with this discussion with her over and again, I somehow felt that how about making, you know, quality learning content accessible to every child, right? So it was around the same time when I thought of, so what the time that I'm talking about is 2011. So that was a time when YouTube was something not very, I mean, it was not a common household name, right? Because not everybody was watching YouTube videos those days. So those days, YouTube was primarily used for entertainment, or maybe, you know, music entertainment purposes. So not for learning, at least. So there were not so many learning creators on YouTube as well. So I thought, why not make use of the platform to create some learning videos? So that's when this entire journey started. I still remember, I would even discuss with my husband, and, you know, we would experiment with how to record a video, how to ensure that there is not a lot of noise. So we used to stay in BTM layout in Bangalore. So the place where we used to stay was very near to the main road, and there used to be a lot of noise. So I still remember that initial days when I used to shoot a video, it used to be late night, or, you know, early morning, because I was also having a day job from 9 to 6, right? So mostly over the weekends, or even on weekdays, late at night, early in the morning, so that we don't get so much of noise from outside. And so it was a very, very, very simple setup where we just had a pen tab and a mic, and, you know, just started recording the videos. Now, during those days, there was not so much of traction as well, because not in 2011, kids were not primarily learning from YouTube, at least. So it was mostly learning was mostly offline, coaching centers, tuition, schools. So that's how it was during those days. But still, what I started noticing was, whichever number of students were watching the content, I was getting some amazing feedback from them. Like, they were saying that, wow, I understood it. Why don't you upload a video on this particular topic? So I was getting more requests for newer topics. And during the first 1 week, there was one comment that I received from a child who said that what you could explain in 10 minutes, my teacher could not do in a week. So, just think of a situation where I was just creating the content out of my, passion to teach, and somebody giving that kind of a comment. So it was like, I was like super happy, super excited that, something that I was doing just out of my passion to teach was actually benefiting somebody on the other side. So, somewhere these two things, my interaction with my maid and creating this, starting to create this content on YouTube. So both of these things happened around the same time. And I think with my maid story, I kind of had that determination to build a free learning platform. So I felt that, okay, fine. So this YouTube channel could be that free learning platform wherein we could upload a lot of content, and the kids can access all of those content for free if they have access to internet, if they have access to YouTube. So I think with that determination, I just started creating content, 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 and more content. So I think from 2011 to 2014, it was more like I was doing my IT job, and alongside over the weekends or in my free time, I was creating the content. So 2014,
One sec. 2014. Let's go back a little to 2010, 11. 2011, you said you started, and your maid story prompted the whole thing. But did you go on YouTube to check if there are tutorials like that, if there are educational videos? How did it even strike you? Like you said, it was the time for coaching centers, and almost every home became a coaching center. The first floor was full of chairs and tables for children. It was mushrooming, especially in cities like Bangalore. And at such a time, how did it even strike you to start using YouTube as a learning platform? And you told us that you sat with your husband and experimented how to get the best out of what you had. But more than that, how did you even think kids are going to go online and search? Because I think the Khan Academy was something people were talking about. But in India, were there a lot of creators that prompted you? How did you even think of putting it on YouTube? I love the name, Roshni. When my son, for the first time, told me there is a YouTube channel called Exam Fear, I was like, wow, who started it? He said, I don't know, but she teaches very well. So my friends told me, I just saw a video and she teaches very well, Amma. So this is what I'm following. So how did you get the name? How did this entire concept come up is my curious question now.
Yeah, sure. So as I was telling, during those days, as you very rightly said, that there were actually no prominent players who were creating learning content on YouTube in India. Khan Academy, of course, existed, and their presence was mostly for the students in the US or and majorly outside of India. So initially, even before creating the YouTube channel, as I said, I was always like looking for, something in the field of education. So I was, because I knew that that was my strength, and I was thinking how to, take that ahead. So initially, we thought of, making a website and then putting up content over there. So in fact, as you said, you are saying that your son had used ExamFear. So he would have visited the site examfear.com as well, because that site was built even before we built the YouTube channel. So it was like vice versa. Normally, people would build the YouTube channel and then later they would build a website, but that wasn't the case with us. So we built a website which had a couple of, study materials here and there for various exams and stuff like that. But then, since I wanted to teach, and I wanted to reach out to more and more children. So basically, for me, I was actually trying to explore something which would be in the online mode so that I'm able to teach and I'm able to reach out to more and more kids. Now, in case I have to record a video and, then upload it, and if I have to take server and things like that, that'll obviously turn out to be extremely expensive. So that is where this entire idea of, uploading the video on YouTube came up, because YouTube as a platform was very, it's very, the UI is very friendly even for somebody who's very new to the tech. So you don't really need to bother about the tech. So it was a place where I could very conveniently upload the videos. So that's how YouTube came into picture. Secondly, when it comes to the name, so as I was telling, when I started this whole, this whole thing of creating educational content, there were a couple of problem statements that have been there in my mind while I was, going through my college days, and I was into job as well. So just now I was talking about my niece, right? So whenever I encountered many such kids of that age group who were like school going or, appearing for boards or appearing for some exams. So in India, at least, I would see that the mindset of the students as well as the parents are very, very exam centric. So most of them, I would not say all, but most of them don't even worry about whether the child is able to learn a particular topic or, whether they are learning something new or not. That is something which is secondary. The primary thing is how much did they score in their exams? The primary thing is what is the rank in the entrance exam? Which college did they get? Right? So that is how the entire system is. So what happens is, in that race of scoring better marks, many a times, in fact, for a lot of students, this happens that they don't understand what they are learning. They would just mug up a lot of concepts, write them down in their answer sheet, and they'll be able to score decent marks, right? So that was a very common thing that I have observed amongst friends, family, relatives. And that is where the whole idea was to create content in such a way. As I said, there was no fancy studio. There was nothing very fancy to create those lessons. And I think who would know this better than you, because you have watched those old exam videos, right? So it was a very basic, setup with very basic things. But the whole idea was, I mean, every child who appreciated those content was primarily because of the way very simple concepts were explained, or even complex concepts were broken down to very simple ways for kids to understand, right? So I think my whole idea was to make children understand whatever they learn in their textbooks, right? So, and they should not learn for the fear of exams. So that's how the name Exam Fear, No More Fear of Exam. In fact, we had that tagline below Exam Fear, No More Fear of Exams. But so now when I meet with so many people, a lot of them, just like you say, that they just love the name. It was so different, it was so catchy and stuff like that. But also along the journey, I came across so many people who said that the name had a negative, a negative touch to it, because it was Exam Fear. And then if you look at that logo of Exam Fear, it had that, danger wala symbol on the X. So a lot of them used to say that, why do you, I mean, it doesn't suit the, kind of work that you do, because you try to spread education, you try to, enlighten so many people. So why the name Exam Fear? In fact, that has been the primary reason we rebranded it to LearnerHub in 2020, where the main focus was learning, because anyways, our main focus was to make learning more engaging, learning more meaningful and fun. That was the story of how we got the name of name Exam Fear.
The honestly, I did watch a few videos because for me the name was catchy, and he was watching some video while he's studying for his physics and chemistry, and the chemistry especially was one subject that he was not very fond of because maybe the way it was taught, I have no clue, but he would find it tough. And when he would watch your videos, he would pick it up far more easy, and that's how he started watching more and more of your chemistry videos. And when he told me for the first time, I said, "What are you watching while you're studying?" So he said, "Exam Fear, Amma." I said, "What is that?" He said, "That's a YouTube channel." I still remember my reaction, as in, whoever has done this has put in such practical idea into play here, because exams, like you said, bring a lot of fear because we are mark centric. Now, when you changed it to LearnoHub, and people had already registered Examfear, right? It's like branding and now rebranding. I'm sure by now you were providing it free, and a lot of kids had subscribed to the channel, and you slowly were becoming popular because that's where I heard about you for the first time, Roshni. I was curious to know who started this, and I read about you, and then you started appearing in newspapers. You were covered by a lot of print media as well. So, what was that journey like when you stepped on a journey without actually thinking of anything else but giving back and making your huge talent of teaching, taking it to the next level of just giving it out to children? What did you feel when people started recognizing you and the world around you started understanding that there's somebody doing something so beautiful for the student community? When did it hit you? Is there any particular moment or any particular feedback? When did it actually hit you? I'm sure with your work, with the videos, your life must have been full. When did it hit you that you're making a difference?
So actually, as you very rightly said, that initially it was more about, just giving it a shot, because I just wanted to I mean, I just wanted to make that happen, that, I want to create content. And as I was telling just now, that initial few years was all about creating content. So I didn't worry much about, how many of them are watching, how many are subscribing, or, but one thing that always mattered to me right from 2011 till today, and that is the comments that I received on the channel. In fact, you won't believe that when I started, even during those days, even if I received, say, 10 comments a day, I used to make sure every morning when I started my work, I would, read those comments which I received on the channel. And I do that even today. So now we receive so many comments that it becomes practically impossible to read all the comments. But I do ensure that whenever I go out for a morning walk or whenever I have time, I read some of the comments every day. So I think, gradually with time, we started getting like these comments that earlier were used to be very few. It mostly used to be around good video, great video, I understood this, please upload one more chapter, stuff like that. And then gradually we started getting more stories on those comments where, kids started telling that, we actually have had stories like this where a girl said that I live in a village and I was not allowed to step out of my house to go for maths tuition because there are no good teachers available in the nearby areas, and saying that, thank you, ma'am, you gave me a pocket tutor because now I am able to access those mathematics content just on a mobile phone. So gradually we started getting more and more such success stories, which made me feel that, this was actually benefiting children on the other side. Like initially it was more like one-sided thing, which I was just uploading. But so I was starting to get the signal that, it was actually benefiting kids across the country. Now, what happened once was around 2015, and I received one email from a student who said that, I have nominated you for some campaign, 100 Women Achievers of India. So there was some email from a random student. I saw that email and I simply ignored because I thought maybe some email, because there was no URL, no, authentic, any, nothing looked very authentic to me. So I thought it was just some random email. I didn't pay much attention to that. And then over a couple of weeks, I received a call from the Ministry of Women and Child Development that, I was recognized as one of the 100 Women Achievers of India. So, it was all about the nominations happened. So one of those students, out of those bunch of students who were watching my content, somebody nominated me. And then, the voting happened. And then, I was among those 100 Women Achievers of India. In 2016, I was invited to the Rashtrapati Bhavan to have lunch with the President of India. So, it was all like a dream come true, because not even a dream, I would say, because I did not start this journey thinking that, one day I'll be able to meet the president, right? So I think, what I felt was the effort that I had put in over the years, it was not with an intent to, get something, because the way I started it initially, I didn't have a vision to, build a company or, to grow big or something like that. So it was solely with the intent of making quality education accessible to every child of the country. So over a period of time, I realized that, it actually brought that impact amongst so many children, and it somewhere it came back. So it came back in this form, and that once and then once I got that recognition, as you were also mentioning it, and the story got covered in several media, both in print as well as online, and then the news was there everywhere. And with that, I also started noticing that a lot of more students started coming to the channel, started watching the content, and so it the graph just went up and up. So I think that was a phase where it was. It went to the next level because we got a lot more popularity. A lot more students got to know about us, because since inception we have grown only organically, because we don't run on huge revenues, or we are not a very, I mean, heavily funded company, right? So it's a bootstrap simple company, and it has grown organically always. But I think with these kind of recognitions, we got a push in our organic growth as well. So I think, yeah, so that was again a phase where, I could feel that shift.
And I think recognitions like this, when you least expect from a source, like you said, you ignored the mail. Many of us wouldn't take it seriously at all.
Correct.
And
Correct.
that moment in the Rashtrapati Bhavan must have been such a surreal
Yeah.
moment for you,
Yeah,
right?
of course. Of course.
So when you came back from there, what shifted in the way you created content? What shifted in the way you looked at your entire career path now, the trajectory that life opened for you? You know, like they say, life is what happens while we are busy planning. And here you were at a moment that you least expected was possible. And that journey back from Rashtrapati Bhavan back to your home, and when you did the next video after that, then on. How did your focus shift? How did you change anything? Are there any stories that happened post that which made you understand that this is my path? That's it. I've found my purpose.
Well, to be very honest, if you talk about that, like it happens with a lot of people that, when they get recognized, they feel extra motivated to, so do something in even in a better way. So for me, obviously, any such recognition, so this was, of course, a very big recognition, but I still feel that any small recognition as well, like when you get covered in a print media, or, any small recognition definitely gives you a lot of excitement, a lot of motivation to keep doing the great work. But I think something that has never changed for me was this determination to build and grow the free learning platform. So I think when I started it in 2011, and when I run it even today, I think that thought has got no shift at all. So I think even today, I feel that I would always want to keep it free, make it affordable and accessible to as many child as possible, right? So that thought has always been there, and that has been one constant throughout this entire journey. Now, when you talk about the shift in the content, so after all of these recognition and all of these, extra growth or push, whatever you say, we received, I think we were all pumped up to, run the show even in a better, much better way. So I think that is when we started revamping our website. We even got an app built, and we started doing a lot of things besides the videos, because earlier it was just about the videos. So now we also started making a lot of written content, as in notes and online test and option for kids to ask their doubts and stuff like that, so that we were able to give them an end-to-end platform. I mean, it should be like a one-stop destination for all their education needs. When I started the journey, it was only about creating content for grades 11th and 12th. Now, as years passed by, so we started creating more and more content. I myself created the entire content for classes 6 to 12 physiology. So we, kind of increased that spectrum of content that we were able to provide. So I think that motivation gave me that push that, in fact, As I was telling sometime back that I resigned from my full-time job in 2014, towards the end of 2014. So from 2015 onwards, it was like a full-time job for me to create content. So, and that's the reason since I have created so much of content during those years of say 2015 to 2018, I have created a lot of content, right? So in fact, not just this award from the president, we were also recognized by Limca Book of Records for creating more than 5,600 videos on YouTube and making them available for free for students, right? So I think all these recognitions definitely was a great boost to continue doing what I was doing. But the vision or the mission was still the same, and we were still on that path of making creating more content and making it, you know, making more features available for the students, basically. I think the next turning point in my life changed a lot of things in many different ways, in many different ways, as far as, you know, Learno Hub is concerned. So in 2017, as you may also know, due to the internet penetration, due to Jio, internet was able to reach to a lot of remote areas where it was not there before. So with Jio penetration, there were a lot of, by 2016 or so, there were a lot of other, you know, big companies who started coming up in the e-learning segment, right? So a lot of, so there was more of competition on the YouTube space as well in terms of learning content. And with Jio penetration, internet was also reaching out to more and more people during that phase. Now, but you know, again, you plan it one way and it happens the other way, right? So it's never that you plan it in one way and it happens the same way for 10 years. That doesn't happen. So similarly, there was a twist in my story as well. So around 2017, 18, when I was going through my maternity and, you know, stuff like that. So I got very much occupied with my personal life during that phase of life. And I couldn't create that much of content during that phase. And fortunately or unfortunately, whatever you may say, during that time, there was so much of internet penetration that was happening. So a lot of children were actually coming to the internet or actually coming to the YouTube to study. But I was not creating content during that time. And at the same time, there were a lot of competitors as well who were coming up during that time, right? And these competitors have also been very big companies, very heavily funded, very heavily spending on advertisements, right? So that was the phase during that time. Now, since for my channel, it was more about, it was not a company, it was solely run by me. I was the only content creator, right? So now that I was not able to create so much of content, I gradually saw that the channel's growth curve was growing down, right? So I could see that the viewership was dropping, the subscriptions were dropping on the channel. So basically, the channel's performance was going down. And that was something that I was able to see, but couldn't do much, right? And post this phase was a very low phase in this journey of mine, where I could see that, you know, the channel was not performing. There was so much of competition in the space. Already there were so many creators and all of that. So that was one of the very challenging phase of this entire journey, that, you know, once you started a journey without any expectations, and then you reach somewhere where you never expected to be, and then suddenly you see that, you know, you are falling back. And then I think that becomes a very tricky part to handle, because many a times we feel that we were there and are coming down. So a lot of us are not able to accept that failure, not failure, I would say, but that low phase of life. We are not able to handle that. Sometimes we quit, sometimes we take wrong decisions. It may change the overall shape of your career, overall, you know, shape of the journey as well. So I think that was a very tricky phase for me as well. I spent some time, I took some time basically to figure out what do I need to do. But as I said, very clearly, that irrespective of how the phase has been, whether I was at the Rashtrapati Bhavan getting an award, or I was at a phase where, you know, I was seeing my channel going down, one constant thing in my mind has always been, I wanted to build a free learning platform. I wanted to make education accessible to every child. So that thought was still the constant in my mind. After thinking a lot about it, I finally decided to make a comeback. So now that I wanted to make a comeback, I wanted to ensure that my comeback has to be such that, you know, it should make a difference to a student's life. So it was not for the fact that there were other competitors in the space, but it was more for the fact that what do the children need, even though there are so many other learning platforms that still exist. Right. So I think that is when the entire way I was creating my content completely changed. So around 2019, I made the comeback. And then when I started creating my content, this time my entire focus was not just creating content and making it available for free. My focus was to create content which is the best content. So, and this definition of best was something that was set by me, a content which doesn't make you feel that you are learning something or, you know, somebody is forcing you to learn something. It has to be so engaging that you don't feel like, you know, going away from it without watching the entire piece, right? So for me, every video that I create since 2019 is a piece of art for me. Everything, whether it is a concept of physics or it is a tricky concept of mathematics, but I always take it as a piece of art. So it has to be the best possible way that I can deliver. And I think with that approach, the entire way I used to produce my content, because by 2019, there were a lot of resources also available in the market. Like, you know, how do you do a studio setup? How do you do editing? And all of that was available by then. So this time when I started creating the content, the quality of the content, like it went from one level to another level. And that's how I started publishing the new set of content by me. And eventually it took some time again. It took a couple of months, but then I started seeing traction on those content as well. And then I started seeing that this time there were a lot more students who were engaging with the content, because now it was like e-learning was in, because students were coming to YouTube to learn. So now they were watching these content and they were liking them. And, you know, again, the same cycle happens, right? You get motivated, you read those comments, you feel that, yeah, this is working out. And the, you know, that whole thing continues. And eventually COVID happened. So when COVID happened, for a lot of students or a lot of parents, I would say, because in India, a lot of parents are very hesitant to, you know, to make their children learn online because they feel that online learning is not that effective and all. But with COVID, they didn't have a choice. So everybody was learning online. So everybody were also watching these content that I was creating. So it also gave an extra boost to the channel. And I think, and it was around the same time when we also, because when I made this comeback, I thought that was a good time to do the rebranding as well, right? Because those feedbacks about the name Examfear was, you know, we got that feedback from a lot of people. So while we did this, so we came up with a new logo, a new name, and the new set of content. And that's how this entire journey of, you know, LearnoHub began. And again, we grew and we got the traction and we got success stories from students. So in fact, in this entire journey of mine, I think the strongest motivation has not been the awards that I have received, but the strongest motivation has been the success stories from the students. As I was telling you, that initially it was more about reading the comments on the YouTube channel. But over time, I feel that I was fortunate enough to meet a lot of students accidentally, sometimes in malls, sometimes on the road. And I have met so many students, and when they shared their stories, that really touched my heart. I felt that, you know, it actually made all the sense to me to spend more than a decade creating these content and making them for the benefit of those students. In fact, I still remember once we were over a weekend, we were in DMart in the Sarjapur road. So suddenly a boy came and, you know, he touched my feet. And I was like, kind of, because he was way taller and, you know, he looked somebody quite big enough. And then he suddenly touched my feet and he said that, ma'am, I used to watch your content. And he was there with his elder sister. And then while speaking with him, I got to know that he was keeping very unwell while he was in his class 12, because of which he was not able to attend his school. So his sister was telling me that, you know, he completely relied on your videos to appear for his 12th boards. And with a lot of happiness, they shared that, he was able to score more than 80% in his board exams. So his sister was telling me that in his room, he has taken out some paper cuttings of my article and he has kept it there. So she was telling that for him, you are almost like a god because you helped him clear his exams while he was keeping so unwell. And in fact, that boy was in Bangalore because of some surgery that he had to undergo here because of his problems. So when you meet such students, you actually feel that it was definitely worth putting in all the efforts to create those content, right? Because there are so many kids who truly can't afford good education, who truly can't access good education, maybe because of where they are. And it definitely makes a lot of sense to create such content for them. In fact, not just that, we have also had stories of students who have made us feel so proud. In fact, 2017, there was a girl named Deepal Jain. So she topped in biology in the entire MP board. And there was an article in Times of India in MP where it was an interview of the girl where she very clearly wrote that, for biology, I never went to a tuition, I never took any coaching, I just relied on the videos that she watched on our channel. So, all these success stories, they make you feel that, it is definitely worth all the effort. It's definitely worth all the hard work that we have put to create this content.
That's so true, Roshni. While listening to the stories, I'm getting goosebumps because they're very special moments that can never be replaced. And even words cannot justify the feeling that you went through at
Exactly.
those times because a teacher has a very special place, and these moments show you that special place, right? And
Exactly.
so looking back, 2011 is when you started, we are in 2024. This is such a beautiful, important 13-year journey for you. And there have been huge highs. There have been moments when you were low, but you didn't quit. You went ahead, saw how to revamp yourself and come back. So, if there are some milestones in this 13-year journey, what are some of those, whether it was recognition, whether it was your down, certain milestones that you really look back and say, okay, these were the milestones that made me who I am today. Any specific ones which you did not share so far, which you think can be highlighted in this journey?
So again, when we talk about the milestones, so I think like as we say that the firsts are always very special, right? Your first job, your first day at school, your first day at college. So I in a similar way, I also feel that some of these, like my first article in the Times of India. So I still remember when that article got published, that early morning, I started getting a lot of WhatsApp messages from friends in Bangalore. And then suddenly I realized that, oh, I mean, even we get Times of India print at our place. And then we suddenly rushed to the main door to see the article that got published. And I think that was the first time my story got published in Times of India. And it was such a special moment because after that, even though I got covered in so many other, newspapers, magazines, online publications, but the first one was extremely special because it made a lot of difference to me, my family, my friends, and everybody I knew, right? So that was the first, I think that was the first, in a way, recognition which made people know about what I was doing. Of course, as we were talking about, the visit to the Rashtrapati Bhavan, of course, made a lot of difference, not just to me, but also to a lot of people who for whom it didn't made much sense about what I was doing. Because a lot of people during those today, if you ask somebody, what do you do? And he or she says, I create content on YouTube. People do understand that because now there is so much of content creation on YouTube. But during those days, it didn't make much sense to a lot of people that, I mean, how does it matter? What does it mean when you create content on YouTube, right? So I think those recognitions, of course, made a lot of difference. These success stories from the students, of course, made a lot of difference and still make a lot of difference to my life. So I think, that also has been a very, it has also played a very major role. In fact, it has played the most critical role in this entire journey of LearnoHub. or you can say whatever I am today. So it has shaped me to what I am today in a way. Not just that, as I was talking about the content creation. So while I was creating so much of content, I never thought that a day would come when we would be invited by the chairman of the CBSE to collaborate for our content, right? So these were some very special moments when you see that, you know, big organizations, they recognize your efforts, they want to collaborate with you, they want to help your content reach more and more children. So I think all of these small yet very important things make a lot of difference to, you know, who you are and what you are building. So I think all of these recognitions, support from the students, and of course, last but not the least, support that I got from my family. So all of these taken together have made me what I am today.
Yeah, truly, truly. And you mentioned COVID, you mentioned e-learning. So when COVID struck, everyone took a back step and schools couldn't stop, so they went online. So here was someone who was online from 2011. And so when the world went online in 2020, you were already equipped enough to handle e-learning. So in spite of competition and revamping yourself and coming back with a huge thump, what did COVID teach you? And what were some of your reflections? All of us took back something or the other, but you were there way ahead of the rest of the players in the market as far as your profession was concerned. But what did COVID teach you?
So whenever I think of those COVID times, one thing that very significantly strike me is the challenge, like the challenge that COVID posed on us. Because as I was telling, that 2018 was when my daughter was born. So by the time we got stuck with COVID, she was just two. Yeah. So there were no house helps, no nannies, nobody else in the house except me, my husband with our 2-year-old daughter. So I still remember those days when everything means everything had to be handled by us. And it was an extremely tough situation for both of us to manage the show because, as I said, I was already going through those down phase and was trying to revamp and create the newer kind of content. So which was which needed me to put in a lot more effort during those days, right? So you won't believe that the determination was so strong because with COVID, all of us knew one thing, that this is there. This is for real. And it is up to you. How do you, you know, manage the show? So I still remember how we managed our schedule during those days. My husband used to work from 9 to 6 and I would be with my daughter because she was too young and she had nobody else in the house, right? So it was practically not possible for both of us to work simultaneously. So one of us had to be with her. So my husband worked from 9 to 6 and I would be with her, do all the other household chores. And then after 6 o'clock, I would start working. So eventually by the time I would, you know, shoot a video or, you know, I'm recording a lesson, it would be midnight. So I would be working till 2, till 3 in the morning. And then we would go off to sleep. And then in the morning, we have to do all the household chores because there is nobody else to manage that as well, right? So I remember those times when sleep was badly compromised, when, I mean, we were going crazy. We were just thinking that, you know, how long will we be able to manage it this way? But what I learned was, even though the situations were so adverse, the situations were so tough, and on top of all of these, we often got phone calls from friends and families and, you know, distant relatives that somebody passed away due to COVID. Sometimes the situations were so worse that, you know, it kind of made all of us tensed, right, with whatever was happening outside. But one thing that I learned was, since that was the time when I just was trying to overcome the low phase of my life. So it was like, you know, very clear one goal that this is my chance and I'll have to make it happen, right? I'll have to make it work. So I think when the determination is so strong, you give your best to fight the adverse situations or the adverse conditions and you come out of it. So I think COVID very clearly taught me that no matter how difficult the situation is, if our determination is very strong, we will be able to handle it in some or the other way, and we will be able to make a, carve a path for ourselves.
I think for a lot of us, COVID taught us that life has a way of teaching you, and
Exactly.
we will face it eventually, no matter what.
Yes.
And three life lessons, Roshni, that you'd like to leave us with.
So if we have to talk about three life lessons, so I think one that I very strongly believe in is focus. I think that if we stay focused towards our goal, so goal doesn't necessarily need to be, it doesn't necessarily need to be a professional goal. It could be any goal. It could be anything that you want to do, you want to achieve. But if that focus is very clear right from the beginning, right from the day you think that you want to achieve that, if no matter how the surroundings are, how the situations are, but if your focus is to the point, I think you will make it happen. Yeah, so I think focus plays a very crucial role. So that's why I often see that for many people we see around us who are very successful. Now, successful doesn't necessarily mean that somebody is a millionaire, a billionaire, or somebody who is a very popular celebrity. Successful in the sense, whatever I wanted to achieve, if I'm able to achieve that, I think that is success for me, right? So, but in order to achieve that, focus becomes very important. And in today's world, especially, I mean, if we have children or teenagers listening to this conversation today, I think the distractions are too many. I mean, as on today, there are too many distractions all around. So if we are able to keep our focus very clear, I think that sorts out a lot of problems on its own. So I think focus is something that I personally very strongly believe that it plays a very crucial role in shaping up your life, your career, your personal life, and all of that. So it plays a very crucial role. Second thing is, I think consistency, because I have seen it work for myself that if you are consistent with whatever you do, whatever little you do, whether it is about maybe practicing yoga for somebody who does it, even though I don't do yoga regularly, but for somebody who does yoga regularly, even if that person does a 15 minutes of yoga every day, over a period of 5 to 6 years, you will see a lot of difference in that person, because that 15 minutes of consistency is what pays him. It is not about how much time you are spending doing yoga, but how consistent are you doing that? So I think consistency again plays a very crucial role. So as I was telling you, I have experienced this myself, that during a phase when I was not able to create so much of content. So what failed was my consistency to create the content, primarily because I was the only content creator on the channel. So because of whatever conditions, but I could not deliver the content, right? But now with that learning, if a similar situation arises in front of me in future, I don't think my response to the situation would be the same, right? Because now I have that piece of learning for myself. So I think consistency is another crucial role that shapes our lives. And I think last but not the least is self-belief or faith. So I think it sounds something which is very generic, which everybody keeps talking about, but at the same time, it is also something that even though we keep listening from all around, we keep ignoring it, because we feel that, I mean, for many of us, we don't even realize whether we have that self-belief or not, because at certain situations, we feel that, yeah, I do have that. In certain situations, it completely becomes invisible. So I think self-belief is something that gives us that strength to overcome hurdles, challenges, and win over situations. So I think if we and I think it is more about an attitude. So if we keep that attitude to win over any kind of situation, so I think, I mean, we are there. So I think most of the time we get stuck with difficulties, right? Some challenges, some problems in life, some low phases in life. So most of the time we get stuck with these negative situations, and we mess up everything else as well. So I think in my opinion, these are some of the things. If we are able to take a good control on them, maybe it may help us.
Love them all, Roshni. Focus, consistency. Because, you know, the moment these two set in, everything else falls in place. But the most crucial element that stitches it all up is self-belief.
Exactly,
And I think when all these three come together, you have Roshni Mukherjee's all around you. Thank you so much. What a lovely, lovely story. And is there a message you want to tell women, especially because many of us give up when we have challenges like family? We step back since our presence is required more. And when we have to take or want to take or wish to take that step, there's so much of diffidence that holds us back. That self-belief that you ended with is what doesn't come up in full force. So is there anything you'd like to tell those women who are hesitating to put that one step forward, immaterial of what life is to them at that moment?
Exactly. So, and I think this one step is something that a woman herself needs to take, because most of the time when I come across such women, everybody, see, every woman would have these some or the other problems in some or the other form, because eventually we need to handle multiple roles, both at personal as well as professional front, right? So I do come across a lot of women who would say that, you know, I do not have a very supportive family, who would say I do not have I do not have somebody else to take care of the kids or whatever. So everybody would have some or the other problems in their lives. But in many of the cases, I feel that the situation has become such that career has become an option for women. It is a choice for a woman. For example, if I am a woman, I have the choice of whether I want to work or I don't want to work. And it is absolutely okay whether I am a working woman or I am a non-working woman, right? And absolutely, even I agree to this, that it is absolutely okay for a woman to be working or not to be working. It is absolutely her choice. But the problem that arises is this choice is given only to the women, not to the other gender. So if you see a man who is not working and his wife working, you would automatically see a lot of people talking about it, that, you know, he is being so lazy, he's not doing anything, how is he not earning anything, and stuff like that. So I think by default, the society is being set in such a way that the men, they already have a compulsion somewhere in their mind that, you know, they need to have a career because that is a must mandate for them. They do not have a choice. But that's not the case for women. So as a result, in many of the cases, what happens? So obviously, I never deny the fact that it is a lot more challenging for us to pursue a career. That is definitely 100% true. If we do not want to take that risk at all, in that case, I mean, there would be no option of winning overnight. So basically, I think it is the women who will have to take the first step. So first you take the first step, and once we take that first step, I also feel then the entire surroundings, the entire support system come into place. As long as we do not take that step, it anyways doesn't work, right? Because we keep thinking of the ideal situation where we would start this, but that ideal situation will never come. Correct. So I think many a times it is more about our perceptions. We perceive that, you know, people would not agree, people would not support, this may happen, that may happen. But what I would suggest is at least let us take that first step. Let us try that out at least once and then see how does it work. Because many a times when we do it and we prove it, then the support system also falls in place, right? And I think eventually it is all about our own mindset. Because at the same time, we would also see a lot of women. The first thing is this hesitation, which a lot of women would perceive beforehand, even before trying, that, you know, we may have this problem, we may have that problem. The other problem which often arises is even after taking up that first step, we often feel, you know, kind of less confident about, you know, where it would lead us to. Correct. So I very strongly feel that a woman who decided to pursue a career for herself, she should prioritize her career as well as her family equally. It shouldn't be like, you know, career is just there for the sake of it to give me a salary every month, but my primary focus is not my career. So in that case, we do not get the career growth that we deserve, right?
Yeah.
So in case we want to pursue the career, we will have to prioritize both. And I really don't think that it is of course difficult, but it is not impossible. So if we have that willingness, we will definitely plan out a path for ourselves.
That's so true. And it's very clear that you are somebody who walks your talk, and that's how you are where you are. An honor having this conversation with you, Roshni, and love the journey you've been on. May God bless you to continue to thrive in this space where you're making a difference to a community that many people don't even give a lot of importance to. And
Thank you so much. You're looking at that
entire student community to whom you're making such a big difference. Stay blessed, continue to inspire, and thank you so much for being in conversation on You and I with Rashmi Shetty.
Thank you so much, Rashmi. Thank you for having me here.
All the very best.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Take care.
You too. With that, we complete this episode of You and I with Rashmi Shetty. Do let us know if you know inspirational people whose story needs to be heard. You can write in at rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com. That is rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com.